Why all of this? ذلك بأن الله هو الحق وأن ما يدعون من دونه الباطل وأن الله هو العلي الكبير. Now in these ayah, each one will end with two attributes of Allah that are relevant to what is mentioned there. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us of all of this that He has subjected in the heavens and the earth, the sun and the moon. ذلك بأن الله هو الحق. This is all evidence because Allah is the truth. His promise is the truth. The Qiyamah is the truth. Jannah is the truth. The hellfire is the truth. وَأَنَّ مَا يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ الْبَاطِلِ. And who they call besides Allah is batil, is defective, it's false. It's false. Everything else other than Allah is falsehood. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْكَبِيرُ. And Allah is above, higher than everything else. Means no matter what insults they hurl at Him by saying He has taken a son or He has partners, whatever garbage they talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is Al-Ali, He is not affected because He is high above everything else. And He is Al-Kabir, the truly great. And the haqq and batil comes frequently in the Quran, that there is the truth and there is falsehood, and they stand clearly distinct from each other, and that we have a choice to choose either one. And therefore we should make our choices carefully, analyzing everything and seeing where lies the truth. Now comes another imagery. أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ الْفُلْكَ أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ الْفُلْكَ تَجْرِي فِي الْبَحْرِ بِنِعْمَةِ اللَّهِ لِيُرِيَكُمْ مِنْ آيَاتِهِ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِكُلِّ صَبَّارٍ شَكُورٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, have you not seen the ships sailing through the waters of the oceans? تَجْرِي بِنِعْمَةِ اللَّهِ. By, this is also ni'mah. You didn't deserve it, but He allows it to float. Do you know water is the only thing that Allah has made which in its solid form floats? When water becomes ice, it floats on the water. But it's the same thing, yet it floats. And Allah has made laws of surface tension and which allow things like, which are much heavier, such as ships. Does it make any sense that something that weighs 100,000 tons floats on the water, doesn't sink? He said, this is from the ni'mah of Allah. These are not, at that time ships used to be of wood, so you could argue, well, wood floats on water, but now they're made of steel and metal. Okay, so this is the fact. You don't say, oh, what a good boat or ship these people, shipbuilder has built. The reason it's floating is by the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the one who bragged about his ship, who said not even God can sink it, didn't make it to the other end first trip. Okay? Yes. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that the fact that you see them floating, now we have these huge, massive cruise ships, thousands of people on it, you know, 20 stories high. They're like, you know, just floating on that. Why does He do that? So He says, so that you, He can show you His signs. One of the signs is, look how it is floating. Then He takes you through the oceans to show you land. He subjects you to the waves. He subjects you to the storms. He subjects you to all kinds of things. So you see His signs. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةٍ لِكُلِّ صَبَّارٍ شَكُورٍ. And in this, there are ayat, there are signs for those who see and who are sabbar, means who have consistent forbearance and patience to deal with the challenges and vicissitudes of life, as well as the blessings. Because ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the signs you see, can be something that you love and enjoy, and there can be signs which you don't like because they are hardship for you. So your response should be one of sabr and of shukr. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling sabbar, means who is consistently patient, who has that forbearance no matter what happens, And because of that patience, he is shakur. He is always thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even in a hardship, say, Ya Allah, I thank you, because it could have been more difficult. Okay. Now, continuing on this, now we are on a ship that is on the ocean. And if you see, no matter how big the ship is, if you put it in the middle of the ocean, Atlantic or Pacific, how big is it? If you look from a satellite, less than a dot. And the waves are there. And sometimes the waves pick up. And that big ship starts to rock. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you this imagery. If you ever saw a movie back from the 50s, The Mutiny on the Bounty, you would remember the big storm that came. And we have many ships. Like, we have, you know. وَإِذَا غَشِّيَهُمْ مَوْجٌ كَالذُّلَلِ. And when they are covered by the waves, in other words, a storm is coming on that ship. Now you're seeing the waves pick up, the wind pick up. Now the waves are starting to come on top of the ship. And you are seeing, now you're feeling a little bit tense. And then it comes more and more and higher, and the water is coming and covering you like a shade. Now what happens? كَذُّلَلْ, like a shade over you, like a cloud has come over you from just the waves. In other words, now you're afraid you're going to drown. This is the end. دَعَوُ اللَّهَ مُخْلَصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. Now this person who denied Allah calls, appeals to Allah, makes dua to Allah. Sincerely, he forgets about everyone else, only to Allah. مُخْلَصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. This is his way of life now is sincerely to, Ya Allah, save me from this. Ya Allah, save me from this. فَلَمَّا نَجَّاهُمْ. And then when we save them, إِلَى الْبَرْ, and we take them to a solid land. Now they have landed. What should be their attitude? That Allah saved them. They have been through a calamity. And this is just an imagery. Just imagine we go through challenges like that of life. And suppose a child became horribly sick. We didn't know they were going to live. Or we became like that. Or something else happened. We go through those life-changing or near-death experiences. Does it change our life? If we recover from that, it's like Allah has brought us from the storm and put us on solid ground. فَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدْ. From them are some who are مُقْتَصِدْ. Now this is an interesting word. مُقْتَصِدْ comes from اِقْتَصَاد, which means balanced. So what does this mean? There are many different, I've found many different explanations of this. They all add up to the same. مُقْتَصِدْ means someone who, that some of them, you can take this in a positive way, because elsewhere مُقْتَصِدْ in the Quran has been used in a positive way. In other words, this person becomes balanced between believing in Allah and doing sabr and shukr. The other is that he is balanced between belief and disbelief. He should have come to full belief, but he is now in the middle. He is hedging his bets. He should have come all the way to belief, but he is still half here, half there. One leg on this side, one leg on this side, straddling the fulcrum. And then some have said that there are ayats like this, like Mujahid said, that there is another ayah of the similar thing in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that they return to shirk. That you can take it that some of them will return to shirk. So in other words, if a near life, a near death experience does not change somebody, what else is going to change them? So what we learn is when we have a near escape from something, a near escape is something, I mean, you're crossing a green light and somebody runs the red light and it just passes you by without hitting you. That's a near life. Or they hit you, like happened to my daughter-in-law recently. They hit you, but you're saved. That's a life that has been saved, a chance. What should that do? That should change your life going forward. And if you don't, then you're among some of those who even that did not change. If that does not change, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throws challenges our way so that we may change. If that doesn't change, then nothing will. وَمَا يَجْهَدُ بِآيَاتِنَا إِلَّا كُلَّ خَطَّارٍ كَفُورٍ. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these two ayats is describing the qualities of the people. Last time, Sabbar and Shakur, the good qualities. Here, Khattar. Khattar is like Ghaddar, person who is a traitor, a backstabber, who is the worst of the worst, treacherous. Kafur, instead of Shakur, he's the opposite. He denies all of that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, nobody argues about the ayahs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or denies his signs except the most deceitful, treacherous traitor, and who is an ungrateful disbeliever. Now we come to the last two ayats of this surah. Here now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses all of mankind directly. He says, Ya ayyuha an-nasu ittaqu rabbakum wakhshaw yawman la yajzi walidun an waladihi wa la mawludun huwa jazin an walidihi shay'a inna wa'dallahi haqq fala taghurrannakumul hayatud dunya wa la yaghurrannakum billahi al-gharur. O mankind, ittaqu rabbakum. Have fear of your Lord. He doesn't say of Allah. He doesn't say of Rabbul Alameen. Makes it personal. Your Lord. In other words, the one who sustained you. The one who provides for you. Have fear of him. Wakhshaw. And have fear of a day. Yawman. Khashya is rational fear. Fear that comes from knowledge. Of awareness of what the consequences. Not the emotional fear. Oh, I got suddenly scared, you know, of something. Have that fear full of knowledge and awareness of a day. La yajzi walidun an waladihi. On a day where the son will not, no father can be of any benefit to the son. Wala mauludun, and no son huwa jazin an walidihi. No son will benefit their father. Shay'a. In the least. No, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is a nuance here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no son. He does not say no daughter. No son will, no father will benefit the son, and no son will benefit the father. Now, we've just been through Luqman's advice. So all of that advice, that benefit that he left behind would be for his son. But on that day, the son of Luqman will not benefit Luqman. And neither will Luqman benefit his son. In the least. Not in the least. Why is it? If that son took the father's advice in this dunya and acted upon it, that would be of benefit for him. But there is no exchange. On that day, nobody will say, okay, let me help you with this. Or my father, take this of my deed. Or none of that will happen. Or I'll carry your burden. None of that will happen. Why? Because of the sheer fear of this day. Because we've heard what that day is going to be like. What is Luqman alayhi salam going to be saying on the day of judgment? Nafsi, nafsi. Me, mine. What will his son be saying? Nafsi, nafsi. What will Ibrahim alayhi salam be saying? Nafsi, nafsi. What will Ismail alayhi salam be saying? Ishaq alayhi, nafsi, nafsi. What would Yaqub alayhi salam be saying that day? He is not going to say, where is Yusuf? He'll say, nafsi, nafsi. What would Yusuf alayhi salam say? Nafsi, nafsi. What would Maryam alayhi salam say? Nafsi, nafsi. What would Isa alayhi salam say? Nafsi, nafsi. And Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam will say, my ummah, ummati, 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 ummati. Now, there is an interesting thing about the son. Allah has not specified the daughters. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us that whoever has three daughters is patient with them, gives them food, gives them clothes, provides for them, is beneficial to them, they will be a shield for him. Kunna lahu hijaban minan nar yawm al-qiyamah. There will be a shield for that person against the hellfire on the day of judgment. In another incident that happened, one time, as we know, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, somebody knocked on her door. There was a very poor woman who came, who had two girls with her and wanted something. And Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha wardaha looked, and all she found in her house was one date. So she gave it to the woman. And guess what the woman did? There was only one date. She was hungry. She split it in two, gave one to one daughter, one to the other, and stayed hungry. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came back, Sayyida Aisha narrated this story to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he who is tested with these girl children and he is benevolent towards them, they will become a protection for him against the hellfire on the day of judgment. Narrated by Imam Muslim. So this is a special status that has been given to our daughters. And therefore we must value them. And especially this was at a time when daughters were carried no weight. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all with righteous daughters who will act as our shield on the day of judgment, when no son will benefit the father and no father will benefit the son. Inna wa'ada Allahi haqq. Indeed, the promise of Allah that this is going to happen is true. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling us urgently towards this. He says, فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. So don't let the life of this dunya deceive you. Don't be deluded by this life of this dunya. وَلَا يَغُرَّنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ. Al-gharur is shaitan. And don't let the deceiver deceive you. What does the deceiver shaitan do? He beautifies the dunya even more. Even more makes it so attractive that you lose sight of permissibility of something. Just for a momentary enjoyment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning us here. Wa'ada of Allah, the end, is haqq. It is true. It is promised. So don't lose sight of that. Always keep that in front of you. Don't let the dunya. What are the things that distract you? What are the things that make you forget about it? We know theoretically, we say, Qiyamah is haqq, naru haqq, jannatu haqq, all of this promise, wa'adallahu al-haqq. Then what makes you forget? It's our nafs, our hawa, our desires, our intellectual inclinations, the dunya, the attraction of the dunya, and shaitan. Those are the four things that cause us to become heedless. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling us with a sense of urgency. Be prepared for this. And the last ayah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ إِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثَ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ. Verily, Allah, with Him is the عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ. When that sa'a is the hour. He doesn't say qiyama because sa'a means the hour, which makes it more urgent. That the knowledge of when that end moment is going to come is only with Allah. What else is with Allah? Wa yunazzilul ghayth. And when the rain comes down, how much it comes down, where it falls, at what speed it falls, and for whom it falls, whether it's going to cause benefit, whether it's going to cause harm, is only with Allah, no matter what the weatherman tells you. Okay, they're wrong 50%, so it's a 50-50 chance. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ. And he knows what is in the wombs. And the wombs are all the wombs of every animal, every human being, that Allah knows what is going to lodge there, before it lodges there, when it lodges there, what it's going to grow to be, whether what it's going to become, righteous, unrighteous, this, that, whether it will go to term or not. What is in the wombs is known to Allah. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ. And nobody knows مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدَى. What tomorrow will bring. What provision. What challenges. What benefit tomorrow will bring. Tomorrow also means next hour. In the future is not known to anyone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that means it's only known to Him. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ. And no one knows بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتُ. Where you will die. So these five things that are mentioned in these are called mafatihul ghaib. The keys of the unseen. لا يعلمه إلا الله. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, nobody knows these except Allah. Now that doesn't mean that Allah does not reveal some of that information. For example, when the Qiyamah will come, Allah will tell the angel, blow the trumpet. Now he knows that it has come. Okay. What is, when the rain comes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs the angel, that is called what? Who brings the rain? Mikai. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to know through ultrasounds and science what is in the womb after a certain period of time. Okay. That's knowledge that Allah has shared with us. Okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about these five things. The hour when it comes, how much rain, where it comes, when it will come, when it will not come. What is in every womb is known to Allah before and after. What will be the result of that? And where you are going to die. So, all of these things and where the provision is going to come from and what the challenges are known only to Him. So, where and how and when a person dies is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's domain and in His knowledge. Life and death are in His hands. يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتِ He is the one who gives life and death. And His name is Al-Muhyi, the one who gives life, and Al-Mumit, the one who gives death. So, as we said, these are the five keys of the ghaib, and Allah may share it with His creation at a certain time, like He does with the angels. So in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has introduced us as Al-Alim, Aziz, Al-Hakim, Al-Latif, Al-Khabir, Al-Ali, Al-Kabir, Al-Sami, Al-Basir, Al-Ghani, Al-Hamid. And they come in a certain order. And if you reflect on them, they make such a beautiful sense that this is who my Rabb is. And when you learn who your Rabb is, obviously you will become Sabbarun Shakur. You will believe. You will bear anything that comes your way, knowing it is coming, even if it's difficult, it's coming from Al-Hamid. It is coming from my Rabb. So, He is my Rabb. He is the beginning. There was nothing before Him. Al-Awwal, He is the Akhir. And Aqibatul Umur. Every affair comes to an end with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa ila Allahi turja. And we will return to Him. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And this is the conclusion of this great surah, which should bring out in us, in the beginning, starts with Kitabun Hakim. And inshallah, by studying all of this, it will give us enough wisdom. Because the head of wisdom is to have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. So that ties the two. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Yakhshaw, have taqwa of Allah, have fear of that day. That is the wisdom that should have come out of studying these 34 verses. And Allah is Al-Hamid, He is worthy of all praise, and we cannot praise Him. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La uhsi thana'an alayk, anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. O Allah, He, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who praises Allah, the Ahmad, the one who praised Allah more than anyone, he says, La uhsi thana'an alayk. I am incapable, I cannot give you and glorify you and praise you as you deserve. I cannot praise you enough. Anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. You are as you have praised yourself. Nobody else can praise you or know who you are or glorify you as you are, other than you. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. So inshallah, we hope that this surah will teach us some of the essentials of Tawheed, knowing our Rabb, that this surah has given us guidelines on how to, of parenting properly, and has given us the opposite of that through the advice of Luqman alayhi salam. And that through all of these, the challenges that we face, that every time we have these experiences, it's meant to bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not drive us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If my life is not changing and I'm going through all of these, especially people going through hardship after hardship after hardship, still not coming close to Allah, there is something fundamentally wrong within. Because this is the mercy of Allah that He's sending all this to pull you back towards Him. So if my life doesn't change, I don't come in full compliance with Allah, not partial compliance, not four salahs a day, not partial compliance in all the things that He has said, then I have work to do. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to recognize Him, to be always grateful to Him, to glorify Him as He deserves. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to work together and with our children to reach that day when we will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and He is pleased with us, that He is pleased enough to grant us shade under His arsh on that day when there is no other shade, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enters us into paradise with our families and our loved ones and our friends and our Muslim brothers and sisters, those who are here and those who are not here and those who have gone before us, the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, without hisab. Hisaban yusra, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, easy hisab, but the books are not opened, we are just allowed out of Allah's mercy. Ameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashadu an la ilaha illa nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.